Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Office Church and our prayer room ministry. And I'm so excited today to be back on our radio broadcast for the study of God's Word on tonight. By the grace of God, I give him reverence. He is my light. And to Apostle Deans in his absence, and to everyone in their respective places, I thank and praise God on this day. God is a good God, and he's worthy to be praised. We're going to get ready to call our Bible class to order on tonight. We're going to have a scripture, a song, and a prayer. Our scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 42. Psalms 42. As the heart panteth after water, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I have gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down with him within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonite from the hill of Mazar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spout. All thy ways and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and the night his son shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I have just read you from Psalms 42, from the first to the eighth verse. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy word. We're going to have a song.
Will you be my light when I cannot see? When I can't take another step, Lord, will you carry me? And when I've lost my fight, will you be my strength? Will you set me a table in the blood of the fire? I shall not walk. I shall not want. For my soul got a shepherd in the valley, and I shall not want. I shall not want. I shall not want. Cause my cup's running over, running over, and I shall not want. And I will lift my eyes to where my help comes from. And I won't be afraid of the shadow of the sea. No, I will not stop with the waking pause. Cause the sweet only grows in the valley, and that's where you are. Say, I shall not walk. No, no, I shall not walk. Oh, my soul got a secret in the valley. I shall not. 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 this life is over, I'm gonna live up here. Gonna trade this cross for a crown, but this is not easy. And when you call my name, I will say my right. There's a mansion in glory, and you're gonna meet me there.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace on tonight, asking you to forgive us for every known sin, known and unknown sin, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we come confessing and repenting and asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on tonight. Father, we first of all come now, Lord, asking you to bind the strong man right now, God. Bind up the strong man on tonight, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, from our lives and from this radio broadcast. In the name of Jesus, Father, I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice on tonight. In come angels all around about them to protect them right now, God. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask you to open up our minds, our hearts, our spirits, God, that we may be receptive to your word on tonight. And I ask you right now to empty me out, God, with myself, and put your Holy Spirit down in the inside, God. In the name of Jesus, let Deborah decrease right now, God, and let the Holy Spirit increase in the name of Jesus to minister to us and teach us on tonight. In the name of Jesus, Father, we'll be so careful to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, for your glory, amen. Amen and amen. And praise the Lord, everybody. We're going to get ready to get in this word on tonight. We're going to, let me get this song off of here. So I won't wear my battery down. So we in Exodus 17 and 18. Exodus chapter 17 and 18. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journey according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirst therefore water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto these people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smote the river, take in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock of Pharaoh, and there shall smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of that place Messiah, 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 in Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron Hur stood up his hand, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steadily until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, for he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Chapter 18, and when Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back. Her two sons, of which the name of one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land, and the name of the other one was Eliza, for the God of my father said he was mine, help and deliver, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses, unto the wilderness, where he encamped at the Mount of God. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law, Jethro, am come unto thee, and thy wife and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and did after, and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come up on them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced of all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hands of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord, who have delivered you out of the hands of the Egyptians and out of the hands of Pharaoh, who have delivered the Hopi from under the hands of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the things wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrificed it for God. And Aaron came and all of the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses set to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. And when Moses father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone and all the people stand by thee from morning until eve? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another. And I do make them know that the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and places such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of fifties and rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge, so shall it be easier for themselves, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them head over people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons, the hard causes they brought unto Moses, because every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got to, this is two good chapters. I love this. And it's such a word in these chapters. So we're going to get ready for our questions. And it's not that many questions, but we can talk about some things. Okay. What did Israel complain about when they were camped at Rephidim? What did they complain about?
It wasn't any water for the people to drink. So,
okay.
Yeah. They really complained about it. And, I mean, you know, I just really think that when we have problems, it's much easier to blame somebody else than to think through the problems carefully. So, and spiritually, you get what I'm saying? They just blame Moses for them not, you know, and I guess I'm skipping or whatever.
Yep.
But they blame Moses for it. So they just, you know, in this situation, you know what I'm saying, Israel, they could have thought things a little different, you know, like we in a desert and it's not surprising, ain't no water around. There ain't, you know, much water, you know, so we need to, you know, look to God and to meet the need so he can meet our needs. Right. You get what I'm saying? So he can, you know, meet everybody's needs. So they didn't do that. Instead, they blamed Moses and did not, I don't think nothing helped the problem. So,
right. That's
but it was the water that they complained about.
Yeah, and we have to remember, too, a lot of these complaints wasn't coming from the children of Israel, but it was the complaints was coming from that stranger, the mixed multitude that was with them, because I really believe the children of Israel believed in the Lord, but this mixed multitude, some of them was Egyptian, some of them came from everywhere to follow the Israelites, like the children of Israel, because God was on their side. So they had other people with them was doing a lot of complaining, too. At the rock in Horeb, what did God provide for Israel?
Water.
That's right. That's right. Water came out of that rock for them to drink.
You know what? It's just something how they... You know, they were complaining about being thirsty, you know, in chapter 15 and in the wilderness of Shur. And same thing, they was complaining they was thirsty. You know, I just, you know, and I know you said it was other people with them, but I just don't understand why God got to keep showing them the same old thing over and over and over again. You know, and it just makes me look at my life. And, you know, it's, as we go through some of the same things over and over again, But what we have to know and realize is that God, he is faithful. He is faithful.
Yes.
And if he did it before, he'll do it again. And most of the time, we've been to put our own self in the issue anyway, in the problem.
Mm-hmm.
We put ourselves there.
Yep.
And God, he takes care of us again and show us. I'm the same God, the same God.
Yep.
And if bless you before, that ought to have been enough evidence that I'll bless you again. Yeah, you got yourself in this mess, but I'll get you out of it. And so that's kind of blew my mind how they was again, instead of praying and going before the Lord and asking him to supply them with some water, they murmured.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
That's right. Absolutely right. They sure did. And the thing is, they complain so, you know, and it's just like the church today. I mean, we complain and complain and complain, and then they don't realize that God never changed. He never changed. You know, he don't have respect of person. He just see our heart. And but they was trying to take that stuff out on Moses. I don't know what the problem was. I'm telling you, because he told them before, it ain't me. It ain't me. Y'all getting murmured against, because Moses is trying to step out the way like, hey, y'all better stop talking against me. It's not me. Number 3:17 says, when Israel was fighting the Amalekites, what did Aaron and Hur do for Moses during the battle? What did they do for Moses?
They held his arms up, one on one side and the other on the other side. They had to help him hold his arms up. That's a lot right there. I'll let you get that.
No. But we're going to talk about it. We're going to answer the questions, then we're going to come back to everything, because I do have a lot in that. It's a lot in that. Chapter 18, verse 1. Who came to meet Moses in the wilderness? Who came to meet
Jethro?
Him? Yep.
Did I say his name right?
Yeah.
Jethro?
Jethro.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
That's his father-in-law.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's his father-in-law in the desert of, yep. Okay.
With his wife and her two boys, or they two boys, I don't know. They keep saying her two boys. I don't know why they don't say his two boys, but that's, I don't know. Anyway, what good advice did Jethro give to Moses? What did he tell Moses to do? And Moses did it.
He told Moses to appoint able leaders and rulers of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens to establish a lower court and a higher court.
Yeah, he sure did. And Moses did it. Yep, he did. He better take heed, because all those people, like he said, he would have been so tired. He would have been so tired. I'm telling you. But because he had to do all of that by himself, and they was coming to him because they knew God was using Moses to do everything else, and especially after he had sent Joshua out to fight, and Aaron and Hur had to hold his arms up, but God was using Moses in that way. But anyone have anything, any comments and stuff? Because I want to comment. I want to talk about the Amalek.
Well, I just wanted to say a little bit about Aaron and her and how they held up Moses' arm, you know, when we, you know, in church and, you know, leadership, you know, we have to know how and when and be able to hear God's voice when he tells us that, hey, you need to step in and do this. You need to step in and do that. You know, hold your leaders up. We need to hold them up in prayer. We need to find out if there's anything that they need taken off of them. Because leaders, apostles, pastors, bishops, they have a lot on them. Especially when they're working for the Lord. Especially when they're sacrificing and giving of themselves to the Lord. They're human. They get weak in their body. And we are supposed to step in and hold them up on both sides. Not half doing it. I mean, giving your all into doing it. Hold them up. I mean, you're only going to reap a blessing from that. But it's, you know, building your leader up. And we have to build them up on so many areas because they got so many things that God has them doing. And if we are called according to our to God's purpose and we love God, then it's all going to work out. But we have to step up and do what God is calling us to do as far as holding our leaders up. Hold them up. Don't talk about them. Sometimes you don't understand why they do the things they do. Pray for them. But hold them up. Apostle, is there anything you need me to do? Do you need me to read for you tonight? Do you need me to pray for you? Whatever it is, do you need me to type something up? Do you need me to, whatever it is, we ought to be in tune to God enough to know when, hey, we need to step in and hold our leaders up on both sides.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. That's awesome. That's right. You have to.
I second the motion.
Could I just piggyback off of that, too? I just want to say a little something, too, because I really feel like this is going in a good direction where, you know, that's why we need to be prayed up as Christians as well. Because, I mean, everything my sister just said, it just pointed out so much stuff that Christians need up under their belt. You know, as far as their tools go. You get what I'm saying? And I'm talking about starting with the prayer type of thing. That's a tool you use when you come against the devil. You get what I'm saying? And as far as us discerning certain things about just people in general, you know, that's going through. You get what I'm saying? And when you're talking about one person that's been led by God, it's only one person. So when you can... able and willing to be there, and I'm talking about on one accord with that person, on the same page with that person, to get that devil, knock him off his word. You get what I'm saying? Because he can't be in two places at once. I'm talking about destroying him so he don't come back. You get what I'm saying? So when we, as followers, you know, when we have the chance, because it's not often that people get the chance. You get what I'm saying? You can be sitting in a church day in, day out. They'll never call on you to do nothing nowadays. But when you get that chance, I'm talking about you probably need to put your all into it is what I'm saying. Give it your all. I'm talking about your whole heart. But when we can learn some things like the people did for Moses, like my sister was saying, it's almost like a miracle that, you know, because when you think about some things, and I mean a lot of us do things that we don't even think that people would help us on. So we get ourselves prepared to do it by ourselves.
Right.
So in our mind, we like, Lord, I need your help. And just don't know, I already got an army of people behind you ready to hold your hands up.
Ready to hold your
back up straight. You get what I'm saying? Ready to be your stepping stool for some of these people. You get what I'm saying? So it's just you don't never know how God will move in your defense. He just needs you to move. And I'm talking about that brings me to the next point of you got to let God use you. You know, everybody have a story to tell somewhere or doing in something. We got to get to work at it. because, you know, it ain't going to be long that he's coming back. And I won't be caught up. I don't want to be trying to figure out where my mom and my sister them gone. I don't want to be here.
Right.
So we got to be vigilant. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We got to be repentant. We got to be forgiving. We got to be all of that. So we can have a seat underneath God's feet. On the, you get what I'm saying? With him.
Mm-hmm.
So
I just think this is awesome, like she said. And I think that, you know, I don't know if he was expecting to be held up, but I know when God come into fruition, things may be, it may look like a miracle, but that's just who God is. And we be forgetting who he is and how he rolls and what he'll do for us. All he want us to do is ask him. Be present.
Yep.
Ask him. God help me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all he wants from us. It's us to ask him. Talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in your first time riding in the car, in a McDonald's stop sign, you know, wherever, talk to him. That's all he wants. He want to know where you at, you know, and to help build your faith about him, you know. But amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That was good. Anyone else have a comment? So, I mean, it's a blessed thing, this Bible study, and because we're going through it and it's getting personal to us, it's getting good, but it's going to get even better. But the first mention of the rock and the water that came out of the rock, this was the first mention of it. Now, this rock, y'all know what it represents. We ain't left to guess or speculate or nothing. But the Holy Spirit of God explains it over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4, which tell us that, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. He smote the rock, but the rock was Christ, and he allowed that water to for them to, you know, because he's the bread of life. The bread of Israel ate was manna, which was a picture of Christ. The bread of life, Christ is also the water of life. And the rock is the picture of him. See, it's so many times that we can drink water all day, but you get in the water. But when God gives you the water from him, when Jesus gives you water, you will never or hunger ever again when he gives it to you. So it's him. He is the bread of life. He's the water of life. Because when we drink from him, of his water, we will never thirst again. So he was trying to really get them on that page. But you know, they stayed in the desert 40 years. They was in there 40 years just going around in circles because they was going through the same stuff. They was murmuring, complaining. They was going through tests and they was failing them every time. Every time they was failing them, he would let them go right back over again. Go back over again. Y'all going to stay in this desert till you pass the test. You're going to stay right here until you pass the test. Stayed there 40 years trying to pass the test. We don't want that. We don't want that for our lives. We want to, whatever trial or tribulation, whatever it is we have to go through, whatever situation, whatever circumstance we have to go through for God, we better pass it or we'll be going in the desert again in the wilderness 40 years shoes never wore out, nothing. Never asked for no more clothes, nothing. Because God was letting them go through whatever they had to go through. And again, like I say, I don't believe it was all the children of Israel. Might have been some of them. But it was the stranger, they call them stranger, that was with them. It was that mixed multitude that was with them. And the thing about Amalekite, that word Amalekite represents the flesh in the scripture. That's what they represent. And the Amalekite was a descendant of Esau. The Amalek was a descendant of Esau. And the Amalekites had become enemies of Israel. That's the flesh. They never ceased to be Israel's enemy. They never did. For the first time, the children of Israel engaged in warfare. Esau was a picture of flesh. Flesh is sin. And as Israel could not overcome Amalekite by their own effort, but you know they had God with them, neither can you or I overcome the flesh by our own effort. We have to crucify that flesh. We have to have, we need God to help this flesh. Ain't no good thing in our flesh. Not one good thing in our flesh. The Amalekite. And it's come up against you. That's why we fast and we pray and we study and we read. But when we fast, we crucify this flesh. Because all kind of stuff comes out of this flesh, especially when you're not thinking. When you're not on focus and you this and you that, the flesh will come against you. The flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Paul explains it in Galatians chapter 5 and 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And there are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the thing that you would do. Because the Spirit of God is one against that enemy for us. Because if he wouldn't, we would be doing all wrong stuff that we shouldn't be doing. But the Spirit of God come up against that flesh. That I'm telling you, it's things that I know I would be doing if I didn't have the Spirit of God in me. I know I would be doing. It's not right. And all we have to do is just think back and keep the commandments of the Lord. Because it ain't, I'm telling you, it's a bad thing when that flesh, when your flesh rises up. I'm telling you, you have to keep that thing tame and down. I'm telling you. This flesh ain't no good thing in it. I'm telling, have you looking all kind of different ways at every different body. I'm telling you. The important thing to remember is that the Holy Spirit is the only one who can give us victory over the flesh. The Holy Spirit is the only one. Victory comes as the believer walks in the Spirit. We got to walk in holiness in the Spirit of God. And when you and I try to act like independently of the Spirit, Amalek or the flesh wins an easy victory over that, over us. When Moses' hands were up, the Israelites won. And you and I could never, we would never be able to overcome the flesh, but it's only by the Spirit of God who can do it. We can't do it, but the Holy Ghost can do it. The Spirit of God can do it. The Spirit of God can do it. But we got to give way to him. We got to turn it over to him. That's what we have to do. It's a hard thing, this flesh, because everything seems good. Everything seems, because I'm telling you, you know, I'm finna have this barbecue on the 29th, and the Spirit of, this this plus, Emily, you should get a bar. You can just have some coffee on it and some orange juice. If a person get a bar, you dancing with the enemy right there. Is you a fool? I said, get out of my ear. I'm going downstairs and get the table for Ed. Said it about 3 or 4 times. I ain't no fool. I don't play with God. Because if you get a boy, you intend to use it. If you get one, you can't tell me you're going to have no Pepsi, no orange and Coke on no bar, and that's it. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Mm-mm. Can't fool me into stuff like that. I don't drink no way. Not even no wine, nothing. I don't have no desire for it, not a taste, not a drop. But that's that flush rising up in me. Even though I'm fasting 12 to 16 hours a day, he still try to come up against you. That's why you got to be on point. You got to stay focused because he'll sure come up against you. I'm telling you. And over in chapter 18, that was 17. Over in chapter 18, even how the Lord sent Jethro to help Moses. You know, because Moses trying to do everything. And wisdom come with aged men and women. You know, you have to listen to wise counsel. He said, now I'm going to give you some good and wise counsel here, Moses, if you would listen. And go check it out with the God. Go confirm it with the Lord. But you need some help. You can't do it all by yourself. That's why I be trying to get anybody I can to do anything they can do, because I need help. I know I need help. I got so many ministries. I don't have enough people. I got so many ministries. I got the marriage ministry, the single ministry, every kids ministry, every kind of ministry, the outreach ministry. I'm supposed to be passing out clothes and food and whatever people need. I got all that. All of that. I need help. I need help. And I know y'all waiting on me, trying to wait on me, but it's coming. And then I know some of you have your own church and your own ministry. But I know I need help. And I know God's going to send me some help, too. I know that. But over in chapter 18, where the Lord told Moses and Moses told Joshua to go to get some men and go out and fight the Amalek. No, it wasn't over here, was it? It was in 17, wasn't it? Anyway, yeah, he told Joshua to go out and get some men because they weren't used to fighting war. That was their first time in the story. And they just tried, he tried to pick some men that was big and strong and stuff like that. But he was obedient, Joshua. So God was preparing Joshua to take Moses' place. It ain't came yet, but it's coming. You're going to see. It is time to stop and consider this man, Joshua. He is the one who is going to succeed Moses. We can see that he is already being prepared for this position. He is an ordinary man, but God is preparing him for the task that is headed for him. God instructed Moses to rehearse in the ears of Joshua that Amalek is to be destroyed. And God did it, because every time, as long as Moses' hands was up, Joshua and them prevailed. See, God's going to get rid of the flesh. Can't nobody do it but God. I don't care what happens. We can't do it, but God can't. He's going to change a lot of things. A lot of things because, I don't know who said it. God, is he on his way back? He on his way back. There's too many things happening. Wars and rumors of wars. Can't tell what the winter from the summer. You can't tell nothing no more. The weather just all one day it's snowing, the next day it's 75. You don't know, and it's getting more and more. What the Bible says, showing signs. He's showing us signs. We trying not to pay attention, but he's showing us signs. Just like I said, I was telling Prophet Sally the other day, I said it was 400 shootings in America. I think it was on Mother's Day. 400. Not in no one particular place, all around the globe. That's scary in America, in the States. That's scary. I mean, in New York, people was out, and they were shooting. You could hear them pow, pow. People was diving behind the food carts and everything. I'm like, look at this guy. Look at it. I'm telling you, we got to make sure we keeping ourselves together and before the Lord, before God. Mm-hmm. And Jethro was probably skeptical when Moses was still in Midian, announced that he was going to deliver the children of Israel from the yoke of bondage in Egypt. Probably he told his neighbors, I don't know what has come over my son-in-law, but I got to go back and talk to him. And, you know, it's good, like I say, to have wise counsel. You know, and the person that's praying and staying before the Lord that just won't tell you anything. This was, we have to be so careful. I mean, I do a lot of counseling, and sometimes I need counseling. But I'm telling you, you can't listen to everybody, but you have to be prayerful and ask God for keen discernment so you will know who you can talk to. You can't tell everybody nothing. You can't tell everybody your dream because they'll still write what you're going to do. I've had that to happen to me so many times, so many times. But if God didn't give it to you for to do, it won't work. You might take it from me, but it won't work for you. So, you know, we have to just stay focused, I'm telling you. And we have to listen to the wise counsel that God has before us. He'll have somebody to confirm something for you or to just talk to you. Some people just need to talk. And us as ministers and leaders and pastors and prophets and bishops and apostles, we're supposed to always have an ear to listen. I don't care who it is. If somebody want to talk, you need to listen to them, not just about any foolish thing, but I'm talking about to get an understanding of the Lord. You need somebody may just need to talk, because you can save somebody's life. They could go the next day and kill themselves because they have nobody to talk to. These are some of the things that we need to be doing when people, you don't know. I'm telling you, because I've been there. I've done that. I'm telling you. I've been there, and, you know, people call me on the phone, and they trying to, and I'm saying, look, I got somebody on the telephone. They don't call and say, are you busy? I don't know what they think, but it's okay, because I'm going to let them know I'm ministering. I don't sometimes tell them that. I just say I'm on the phone, because I don't like to tell people nothing that don't have their man on God. You know, they're just talking and want to talk and stuff. I don't have time for a whole lot of it. I have time to think of the goodness of the Lord and what he want me to do next. Because time belongs to God, and we have to know that he'll be back soon. God will be back here soon. And we got to be, the church supposed to be ready. We ain't in no church right now. We have our own personal relationship with God. And that's the best thing you could have. Every Sunday, you letting somebody else pray for you up on the altar and all this kind of stuff. Pray for yourself. Pray. I used to be first up at the altar. But you pray for yourself. Get your own relationship with God. Call on him. I love the Lord, so I know I'm calling on him. Any comments or any questions? Any comments? This was a good lesson, y'all. And the next one's going to be even better, I'm telling you. Because God's going to visit the Israelites. He's going to visit them in the next lesson. They better get ready. And a lot of times we have visitations from God and don't even know it. And then after that, the next chapter, chapter 20, he's going to give the Ten Commandments. He's going to give the Ten Commandments, and that's just so good. It's such a good chapter. These are good. It's a good book. I love the whole Bible, but it just shows you. You can see Jesus. You can see God through these lessons and stuff. I just thank and praise God. Mm-hmm. So I could talk and talk and talk, but I just want to make sure you all are understanding what I'm saying. Amalek is sin. It's the flesh, I mean, and it's sin. And they were in, like, saying the other day, they were in the valley of sin. They were going through sin between Elam and somewhere else. And what was it? It was between Elam. And
was it Sidon?
It was, yeah, Sinai. Yeah, Elam and Sinai. I just turned over. Yeah, and they was in the valley of sin. That's, you know, and so that flesh gonna rise up. Mm-hmm. It rise up. You can tell when flesh rise up because people wanna fuss and argue and carry on and do all that, but we got to love. We got to stay humble. I'm telling you, we got to stay down. And when I'm telling you, I have took down so many times, I know I was right. I had to go somewhere and cry to keep this flesh from rising up, saying a word. So many times when you know, it's so many times. Even when my bosses got so close in my face just saying stuff, the Lord told me, don't move, don't say a word, don't move, don't say a word. She was so close in my face, spit was getting on my face. I didn't say a word. I didn't move. But she got fired. She left the job before I did. But you have to be able to take down. I'm telling you. I could have walked off the job. I didn't need it. But we have to learn to be humble and thankful for what we have. And just keep, you know, just be for the Lord and know God is looking at us. And whatever we do or say, God is looking at us. We have to know God watching us. He watching us. And he coming back real soon. You know, so I thank and praise God. I'm not going to hold you. We're going to get ready to close out. We got our praise, prayer, and prophecy. I want tomorrow night the same time. And then on Sunday, our Sunday service back at 12:30 Central Standard Time and 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. And we'll have Prophetess Morton bringing her the Word of God on Sunday. By the grace of God, I'm just looking to have a blessed time in the Lord. So we're going to get ready to close out here. Father, we just thank you today for another opportunity. Thank you for your word, God. Your word is just sweet as a honeycomb. I just thank you for your word on today. I thank you for opening up our understanding. Lord, I ask you right now to cover each one of us, God, in the blood of Jesus, over our doorpost, God, over the mantle on our door, God, the blood of Jesus, Lord. Encamp angels all around us to protect us. from all hurt, harm, and danger. Father, our families, God, just keep them all covered on tonight. Cover them, Lord. Bless them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we just thank you again for the word of God. We so thankful to you, God. We don't take nothing you do for us for granted. We don't take it for granted, God. We don't take your mercy that you give us every morning. We don't take our daily bread for granted, God. Every morning we just thank you for being the bread of life and the water of life, God, for us. We just thank you. We pray and we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord maketh his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you all. I love you. You all have a good night, and we'll see you back here for prayer time. God bless you. Have a good night.
We love you. Good night.
We love you. I love you, too. Good night.
Good night. I love you.
Love you. Good night.
Good night. Love you, too.
Good night.
Good night. Love you.
God bless you. Good night.
God bless. Good night.